That's the sound of the triumphant horn. Welcome to a brand new, exciting, action-packed, drama-filled, DeAndre Spectacular Clipcast. I'm your host, and I'm feeling good, Chris Wilde. With me, as always, is the Jaguar.
Well, thank you, Chris. I mean, jeez. Who would have thought?
That was not boring.
Woo! I mean, where's Jerry Bruckheimer when you need him? I mean,
that was an action movie. That was a summer blockbuster. That was a popcorn. That was Jurassic World. That was DeAndre World.
Cool.
I mean, he was the number one story in the world today.
The world.
Yeah,
I mean it was phenomenal, and you kind of, you know, you wake up, you start your day, and then you see he's having second thoughts.
It was incredible, Jack. I was ready. I mean, first of all, what I love is that I was right. I said Paul Pierce is coming to the Clippers. Paul Pierce came to the Clippers. I said DeAndre Jordan will re-sign with the Clippers. DeAndre Jordan re-signs with the Clippers, and we've got a huge show. We've got tons of stars. We've got sports stars. We've got Arash Markazi, ESPN's National Basketball Association national coverage basketball guru. Arash is here. We've got Lucas Hahn, the Grand Poobah of Clips Nation here. We've got Dan Wyke, beat writer for OC Register covering the Clippers. He's here. We've got an action-packed superstar, super stud episode. I may have to call Sam Tripoli and get him on.
Chris, you're selling it well. You're selling it well.
I'm excited. I'm hyper.
You should be.
Go back to the last Clipcast, Dumb Andre Jordum, and I am depressed, Jack. I am on the edge. I'm teetering.
Yeah, you were really, you know.
You know I'm borderline. You know I'm borderline bipolar, Jack. I mean, all the telltale signs are there.
Now I do. But Chris, who would have thought that, you know, again, getting back to the story being...
All right, let's paint a picture, Jack. Paint a picture for the people. You know, we have a lot of fans overseas, and maybe they don't know. So paint a picture, Jack. Tell them what happened this week.
Well, we thought he was gone. I mean, he seemed to be on his way out, and he called Doc on Monday. Gives Doc a call, has dinner with Blake Griffin. I mean, he wasn't sure. And again, remember, you can't sign until July 8th. You can give the verbal agreement, but you can't sign. It's the July moratorium.
That's right.
You cannot sign
until July 9th at midnight, 01 a.m. in New York City. Now, listen, Jack. I want to paint a picture here for the folks at home. DeAndre Jordan, we all knew he was a free agent, and we all very confidently thought he's re-signing with this team, especially when we're down 3-2 versus the champs, and we come back and beat the champs, the Spurs, in 7. I mean, you look at the last two playoff round victories for the Clippers, and they beat the last two champs. The last round one victory was versus the Spurs. The one before that was versus the Dubs, the Golden State Warriors. But we need to get past the second round. And you think all the pieces are there except for we're weak at the three. So what does Doc Rivers do? He strengthens the three. He gets Lance Stephenson, a defensive specialist, and he gets Paul Pierce, one of the most clutch players of all time, the truth. And Doc and Paul, as we all know.
Paul Pierce, who gets on the flight. He got on the flight, too.
So, yes. I mean, yes. So, amazing. DeAndre Jordan, free agent, actually shocks the world and tells Mark Cuban, who's, I guess, a great salesman if you watch Shark Tank. I'm too busy boycotting Shark Tank. But if you watch Shark Tank, Mark Cuban is a salesman, and he sold DeAndre, we thought, to Dallas. All of a sudden, Chandler Parsons, you think he's the salesman. He sold DeAndre. You think DeAndre Jordan is going to Dallas. Everybody's shocked. And here's what happened, folks. DeAndre Jordan, they used to call the Clippers floppers. Well, now they can call us flip-floppers because DeAndre Jordan flip-flopped. I think what happened, Jag, is that Blake Griffin was so classy and said, dude, I'm going to be your friend. Do what's best for you. Whatever you want to do, I support you and I'm your friend. Doc Rivers showed class and said, DeAndre, do what's best for DeAndre. We support you. And I think he really was impressed by the class and realized after he took a couple of days and slept on it, he said, oh my God, I screwed up. I made a bad call. Now, here's what I know because I've got sources. I've got high up sources. And I'm here to tell you, Jag, this has been going on for the past few days. The Clippers sent him a video of the past 7 years of highlights that literally made the man weep. This has been going on for the past few days. The Clippers always knew he was signing at 12:01 a.m. with them, and then the story leaked today, and they started freaking out. Oh my gosh, is Mark Cuban going to get a chance to counter? But then the Clippers go to his house and make a human wall and stop DeAndre's agent and stop Mark Cuban and Chandler Parsons from entering the DeAndre Jordan compound somewhere in Four Corners, Texas or something. It was crazy. And let's talk about who was at the DeAndre Jordan's house party having a pajama jam right now.
Well, first,
who's there, Jack? Who's at the DeAndre Jordan house right now?
Steve Ballmer.
The richest owner in all of sports. The coach, Doc Rivers, right? And then Blake Griffin, his best friend, Jamal Crawford, called DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin peanut butter and jelly. He's there. Paul Pierce, the truth, is there. J.J. Redick drove
back,
from Austin.
Get back to Blake. Blake was sending out, you know, smoke screens all day, too. That was a great thing.
Yes, he was.
He was. He literally, all of a sudden, I heard from someone he was going to the meeting. Then it looks like he's in Hawaii.
Right.
Then
but really,
he's on a
chopper. He's on Black he's Hawk Down.
There.
And then let's talk about the beef. They got a beef. The agent says you got to trade Chris Paul or he's not coming. Well, guess what? The beef is over because Chris Paul was there. He rode a banana boat with Dwayne Wade and LeBron James.
The agent, Dan Fagan, that orchestrated all this, you know that is Austin Rivers' agent?
Really?
Yes.
Well, so we're not going to – I mean, we're not going to see another one of these – like Telemundo-style telenovela dramas, are we? We're not going to see another soap opera
like this.
Let the Rivers Run, are we? All right, so
Chris Paul
is there. I mean, how do you say no to Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, J.J. Redick, Doc Rivers, Steve Ballmer, and Paul
and Chris
Pierce?
Paul,
you don't. You
Chris
don't
Paul
say no.
Chris Paul supposedly got emotional, too. Chris Paul got emotional. That's what the reports are.
All I have to say, Jag, is this. Pop him if you got him. And drink a cold one for my man, the smartest man in all of basketball, DeAndre Jordan.
I mean, now, Chris, can we both say Microsoft 1, Shark Tank 0?
Yes. Whatever Mark Cuban's, like, I think the websites that, like, made him rich were, like, something, like, with to do with, like, traffic violations and stuff. Yeah. So I think Microsoft wins this one big time. I think Windows 98 greater than fixyourticket.com on this one.
We gave him the jobs.
And also, for the record, DeAndre Jordan has made it official. In-N-Out is the official burger of the NBA, not Whataburger. In-N-Out greater than Whataburger. You choke on your Whataburger in Dallas while we sip on a fine double-double from In-N-Out.
Now, Chris, they were all at DJ's house. Do you think Mama Jordan was making some food? I mean, like,
absolutely.
I wonder playing video games.
I wonder if Mama
cards?
Jordan was out making a human wall with the rest of the Clippers, keeping Mark Cuban and his grubby hands off of her baby DeAndre. I mean, I really threw Deej under the mat the past week because I thought he betrayed us. I thought he was worse than Elton Brand. So I am back being mad at Elton Brand, and I am loving DeAndre Jordan. You know, you actually had a chance to talk to Arash Markazi about this crazy day and about the emoji battle. So, Jack, talk to me about Arash's promotion and talk to me about the emoji battle and set this up for the listener.
So, Arash, you know, as all of you know, covers the Clippers for ESPN LA. He is getting a promotion. He is going to be a national writer for ESPN and teaching at USC in the fall.
Wow.
So congrats to Arash.
A lot of people think that's mostly to do to his Clipcast appearances. A lot of people.
Oh, yeah. They're catching on. They're really catching on.
That's what DeAndre Jordan said.
But exactly. But, you know, this day has been so chaotic.
Crazy.
And I could only talk to Rush about it. It's fabulous. And
set up the emoji battles that happened. What is the emoji battles on Twitter that were happening, Jack?
I mean, this day was like social media mayhem. I mean,
Chandler Parsons sent out the first emoji, but the first emoji I saw was from JJ Redick, which was that blue car on a road trip from Austin to Houston, where DJ's from.
With Holiday Row being played in the background.
That's right, Holiday Row, out! All right, so, and then Blake had an incredible Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, except for substitute a train for a chopper. He had a plane, helicopter, and automobile emoji. And then, like, Paul Pierce, like, somehow, like, took a picture of an emoji in one of the sloppiest emojis I've ever seen of a rocket ship.
He went on to Adobe.
Yes, he photoshopped. And then Chris Paul emojied a banana boat, which I believe you and Arash get into. Am I wrong?
Yes.
All right,
yes.
Let's take a listen to the national ESPN NBA correspondent Arash Markazi now.
Clipcast, Clipper Nation. We have one of the finest men around, our favorite ESPN's Arash Markazi. First off, congratulations to the promotion. Covering the national beat, starting soon, right?
Yeah. And before that could happen, apparently the whole DeAndre Jordan saga has to happen. So, you know, at least they go out with a bang.
It's 5 years ago since the decision happened with LeBron James. So it's fitting. It's fitting. The indecision is happening right now with DeAndre Jordan or DeAndre Jordan Watch. I don't know. I don't care what you want to call it. This is insane. It's been one of the craziest days in sports history that I can remember.
It's nuts, Jack. I don't know if I've ever seen anything like this. I mean, we've had situations in the past where a player has sort of had cold feet and reneged. It has not been a superstar player like this. It has not also dragged on like this. I mean, it was basically a week ago almost that DeAndre Jordan chose to go to the Mavs. So, really sort of worst-case scenario for the Mavs that this does happen because they don't have, you know, if they had a plan B and C in place, those plans are now gone. And again, if DeAndre sort of drags this out until, you know the time that he can, you know, there's really nothing for the Mavericks to do.
I mean, this is... To have, like, Carlos Boozer, Hito Turkoglu are two names of people that have rebuffed on their contracts before in the past.
Yeah.
But to get the gang together before the gang is even, like, officially played on court is pretty insane, right? I mean,
when I heard Paul Pierce was making the trip, I mean, I thought that was significant because, to your point, I mean, he's not officially part of the team. I mean, he, like DeAndre, committed to joining the Clippers, but... you know, has not signed and will not sign until tonight. So this idea that they both could be signing tonight in Houston at DeAndre's house is pretty nuts.
I am getting on the private jet together. I mean, just going through, you know, the events of today, you know, you have basically this emoji war. I've never seen anything like this. I mean, and you had... Also, too, I don't know if you're aware of this basically smoke screen of Blake Griffin. You know, him saying that he's in Hawaii when in reality he's actually on his way to Houston. Everyone thinks he's in Hawaii. And then he's sending these, like, Chuck Norris superhero photos from the meeting. It was amazing. Now, I want to get to the big emoji of the day. The Chris Paul banana boat, which was like, I mean, did they go to like some type of all NBA, you know, fishing and resort place and take this awesome shot of he and LeBron James? But so you tweeted about the banana boat. What were you thinking at the time? Like,
well,
what's going on?
The first emoji was Chandler Parsons with an emoji of a plane, basically saying, I'm going from Dallas to Houston. That's fine. Blake's emoji was, I believe, plane, helicopter, car, or something along those lines. So that was kind of a funny back and forth. And my my kind of joke in response to that was, if Chris Paul tweets out an emoji of a banana boat, I'm done. You know, at that point, it was just two guys going back and forth. And then Chris Paul does do that, like, 10 minutes later. So that kind of opened up the floodgates in terms of everyone has tweeted out emoji, from Kobe Bryant to Roger Federer, to basically every celebrity and every sports athlete today has tweeted out their favorite emoji.
Yeah, I mean, it was like an hour of emojis. You know, it was like an emoji buffet, all you can emoji. You know,
yeah.
And it, you have JJ having his car because he's in Austin. He can drive there. Mike Woodson was swimming. I don't know who swims underwater and types emojis, but Mike Woodson can do it. And then you also had Billy Crystal, Clippers, favorite number one fan. So, I mean, this has been unbelievable. I mean, for my lifetime, probably the only thing that compares is the 1994 O.J. chase during the NBA Finals.
Well, you know, but here's the beauty of this. I mean, this is where sort of the greatness of NBA Twitter comes into play. You know, because if this had happened pre-Twitter, we may have heard about it, like, tonight on television, or we may have read about it tomorrow in the newspaper. But, I mean, to get a live play-by-play from the moment a lot of people woke up this morning up until, you know, tonight, you're sort of getting a play-by-play of they're flying to Houston, you know, they're in Houston, they're meeting him, they're at his house, they're not leaving his house. It's this amazing play-by-play that really is playing out on Twitter. So this is where the beauty of NBA Twitter comes into play.
Yeah, it's so funny because, you know, again, I'll bring up the movie Airheads. If people, you know, don't know, it was made in 94. Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, great. They basically take over, they take hostage of the radio station to play their demo. Yes. And that's basically what the Clippers organization did to DeAndre. I would just wonder if his mom's in there cooking right now, you know, just keeping everyone happy.
But you know what, here's the sort of part about that, and I get the jokes and everything. This began when DeAndre called Blake, and then when he subsequently called Doc, and I'm sure he's texted back and forth with his other teammates as well. This is not just a two-way street. This was a two-way street that was initiated by DeAndre. So I know there's a lot of, you know, perception out there. Clippers are making one last-ditch effort to convince him to come back. I think this happened because DeAndre told them he wanted to come back or was having second thoughts about it. And listen, I don't think the potential starting lineup of the Clippers, as well as Doc and Steve Ballmer, gather in Houston unless they really believe DeAndre's going to come back. As we're talking right now, as the taping of this, this thing is changing every 2 minutes, so who knows what's going to happen. But I don't believe, at the end of the day, that they're flying out there just so they can go home without him on the team.
No, I don't think Steve Ballmer is looking to go by Waco, Texas.
No.
I don't think he's out there for that. No, there. And Paul Pierce, you know, bless him. I can't wait to see him in a Clipper uniform with his clip art, his clip art rocket of the emojis too. Definitely took it. But, you know, isn't this kind of similar to college recruiting to a certain extent, too? You get a lot of this, you know, down-to-the-wire stuff, like, I'm going to go here, oh, no. But it's on a professional level because you have this
weak
gap.
There's no question. This is very much like college recruiting. The only thing is, you know, I think in college recruiting, we're a little bit used to kids, high school kids, by the way, reneging on their verbal commitments. I don't remember a time in this NBA moratorium period where we've had a guy renege on his verbal agreement, and not only just renege, Jack, you know, renege 1 week later. I mean, if he had come out Thursday and said he's going to go to the Mavericks and had a change of heart Friday, you know, the Mavs can still maybe convince Tyson Chandler to come back. They can try to get Roy Hibbert. They could do a variety of things. You know, when you renege, and again, at the time of this taping right now, it's kind of late. No matter what he decides, if he decides he's leaving, it's a little late for Cuban to now get on the phone 1 hour before Corey Thornton was listed and try to salvage anything. These guys are gone. These deals have already been made. So it's a little bit like college recruiting, but a little bit different in the sense that it's 1 week after the fact, and if this really does go down, the Mavericks are in deep, deep trouble.
Oh, it's gone down. It's going down, and it just shows you, too. I wonder if Cuban not playing ball, too, with the sign and trade, which we heard possibly the Clippers could get into for Roy Hibbert, also, you know, it kind of nipped them in the butt, you know? I mean, this could have been a pretty situation for Mr. Shark Tank. Instead, you know, he's going back to the drawing board. So, you know, it will be interesting to see, but you were there firsthand. And, you know, the reason why this emoji war kept on going, Arash. Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Arash Markazi, ladies and gentlemen, the best in the business. Jack, no, you and him go back. You guys have a huge, rich, deep history. You guys have been buddies for a long time.
That is correct, Chris. Geez, we went to college together. He's a
teenager, right? Were you guys a couple of teeny boppers, like, you know, snapping towels in the showers together?
Oh, I mean, we went to the hop and everything, Chris. I mean, it was amazing.
You went to the malt shop and had a ice cream soda together. All right, so Jack.
No, we had a water ice. Get it right.
That's right. Arizona State University, right? And then he transferred to a real school.
Yes, he did. But he's doing a great job, and he's been covering this DeAndre story, you know, since the indecision started, you know.
I love that. I love that line that you had. If LeBron had the decision, DeAndre had the indecision. Jag, I mean, look, it's not legal until you sign on the line that is dotted. I mean, I was listening to NBA radio today, and everybody was up in arms about a man's handshake is supposed to mean something. I mean, can people just get over the fact that a handshake doesn't mean as much as a signed contract?
No, it doesn't. I mean, it happened in the NFL this year with Frank Gore.
Didn't it happen to Cuban 3 years ago? No, it didn't happen to Cuban with Jason Kidd, or was that it happened to the Knicks with Jason Kidd?
It did not happen with Cuban. It happened with Cuban and Deron Williams.
There you go.
That's what happened with.
D-Will.
Yep.
Jason Kidd basically said, I was coming to the Knicks 3 years ago, and then he was like, psych.
Yep. No, but you know what song I'm surprised you have not
started singing?
Graced us with,
I want to sing the
Cuban knocking, but he can't come in. Come on.
Keep on knocking, but they can't come in.
Cuban's
knocking. What I want to sing is hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so happy. I am over the moon. I am through the roof. DeAndre Jordan, who can, by the way, jump over the moon and through the roof when he does his ferocious slam dunks that knock Brandon Knight on his back. Dude, I just wanted to keep this core together because it's so important to keep your core together, as we've seen in San Antonio. It's so important to keep the core together, and I didn't want that poison pill, man. This past week has been really, really upsetting, and everybody was
JaVale McGee. I mean, JaVale
McGee and his weird finger pictures, very weird finger pics.
Shaq and a fool. I mean, that guy.
There are so few true centers in this league, Jag. There are so few true centers. So when you have one that's special, it really is special. And we thought we'd let him go. And then when JJ goes on that podcast and says the Clippers free agency grade.
He was on Bleacher Report. He went on Bleacher Report.
Yeah, and he said the Clippers free agency grade is an F. Do they give out an F-? He was absolutely right, except for now, flip it, flip-flop it to the top, A+. Look at the moves that GM Doc Rivers has done in this offseason to sign the superstar.
Look at what this organization has done in the past two weeks. As a franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, they stood on their feet.
This
has not been
an
easy last couple years.
No, it hasn't.
There hasn't been any structure, yet we've had leaders in place.
And people are going to hate the new logo, and people are going to hate what DeAndre did to Dallas. But at the end of the day, everyone except for people in Dallas hate Mark Cuban. And Mark Cuban got his comeuppance. I mean, all the Lakers fans out there, excuse me, the L-word fans out there, have hated Mark Cuban because he was so up in arms about Chris Paul to the L-word. And now you know those L-word fans are happy because DeAndre Jordan screwed over Mark Cuban.
Oh, and how could he not be? I mean, the same Mark Cuban who earlier in the week got fined $25K for yes. talking about DeAndre out of context.
Absolutely.
You know, because he's not allowed to on a radio station. I mean, it's just...
And the same Mark Cuban who, by the way, screwed the Clippers over by, like, not being able to do a sign-and-trade. I wonder if, had he done that sign-and-trade...
That really bit him in the butt.
Yeah.
You know?
If he would have agreed to a sign-and-trade, who knows what we would have done.
Yep, we probably would have gotten Roy Hibbert.
I mean, now what a different day, dude. I mean, Diamond Don Sterling, you think he's ever going to, like, fly the guys to Houston to do anything? No, he's going to sit in his money bin and jump through his gold coins and count his money. Like, Steve Ballmer is a boss. Doc Rivers put this group together, and they said, let's go sing Kumbaya and hold hands and make a human wall and keep the Cubans away. You know what? This is the exact opposite of what Obama did.
Did Stallone produce this movie?
This is the exact opposite, because Obama lifted the trade embargo from Cuba, except for what we did was the exact opposite. We were like, no trade for Cuban. No Cubans on this team. Dude, I am so fired up for Deej. I am so fired up for these clips. And we've got a special guest because the hits just keep coming, Jag. The hits just keep on coming. We got Lucas to talk to us about the numbers. This kid is one of the greatest number crunchers in the NBA. He's, you know, basically him and Steve Perrin are running Clips Nation. And he understands what now other things we can do because he knows stuff about the salaries, about the caps, about the mini mid levels and the veterans exceptions, and I just don't understand it, but he does, and I say we bring him on now.
Lucas Hahn.
Ladies and gentlemen, Han Solo himself, the one and only Lucas Hahn, is here.
Lucas, you know we're here to talk to you strictly about the Wesley Johnson signing. You know that?
Yeah, well, I think it's going to have major cap ramifications, the minimum salary addition, so.
All right, Lucas, okay. Talk to me. All right, first of all, tell me about your angle on this nutty, nutty day.
I have never heard of anything as ridiculous as this, ever. I've never even heard anyone think about the idea of anything as ridiculous as what happened today. But here it was happening right in front of us. It was so high stakes and so tense, and it had such huge ramifications for the Clippers season, and I spent the entire day laughing because it was so absurd.
Yeah, like a madman, right? Like a Mad Hatter at a tea party in Alice's Wonderland. All right, so, Lucas, do you think this was a Bush League move by the Clippers, or was this a brilliant move by the Clippers?
I don't think it was either, to be honest. First, according to reports, DeAndre Jordan contacted the Clippers first. So any team, you have a max free agent, he's still unsigned, contacting you and saying, I'm thinking I might want to play with you, you're going to go after him. That's just business. That's common sense.
It's not show friendship. It's show business.
It's business.
So, Lucas, what exactly now with DeAndre signing do the Clippers have in cap space?
Nothing. Zero. No exception money. No sign and trade. Nothing. Absolutely.
Just Paul
nothing.
Pierce.
Yeah. DeAndre Jordan basically puts them about $8.7 million over the tax.
Right.
Also including Paul Pierce's deal. And so that $8.7 million is including, their total team salary is just a tick under $93.4 million, including Paul, Griffin, Jordan, Stevenson, Redick, Pierce, Wilcox, and then the cap holds for Austin Rivers, Big Baby Davis, et cetera, to fill out the roster with minimum guys to get to 13 guys. It's going to be about $93.4 million.
Lucas, do you think Austin stays?
I do think he stays, but I'm a little less certain now than I would have been, say, 2 weeks ago. Okay, it's actually interesting. If Austin Rivers leaves, okay, so stay with me here. If Austin Rivers leaves, the Clippers renounce his, obviously they aren't going to have his cap hold on the books anymore, So that's going to save them a little over $2 million from their projected salary. And if they can trade Jamal Crawford in a salary dump, it would put them far enough below the apron to use the remainder of the full MLE. So basically that extra $2 million that they can't use because they only have the taxpayer mid-level instead of the non-taxpayer mid-level. If Austin Rivers leaves, and if they salary dump Jamal Crawford for nothing, absolutely no salary back or a minimum guy back, they can use that leftover portion of the mid-level. Is it worth it to salary dump Jamal Crawford for $2 million when the veteran's minimum is above $1 million anyway? Probably not, but that's the only feasible scenario left that the Clippers actually get an above-min free agent to come in, because being taxpayers, they can no longer get a sign-and-trade acquisition either.
Now,
so they're stuck with minimum and trades.
Now, Lucas, I picture you right now in a room filled with chalkboards like Matt Damon in Good Will Hunting, like doing all the equations, figuring it out. Are you in a room filled with chalkboards or dry erase boards or scientific calculators everywhere? Like, what's going on in Coach Hahn's corner right now?
Are you from the future? Are you from the future?
I actually do have whiteboards, but I don't. I'm not using them right now. I just use Excel mostly.
And a follow up question, Coach Hahn: how's the team doing? Last time we checked, you were 2-0.
We're still 2-0. We had a 4th of July break, but we got 2 games this week: Thursday and Saturday.
All right. Good luck, Coach. Good luck.
You know, luckily, we had practice last night. We have a game tomorrow night. I don't know what I would have done if the moratorium was ending a day earlier or a day later.
So you think Jamal Crawford? You think Jamal Crawford is gone, right?
I do, but I think here's the thing. I think they are actively trying to move him, and I think he will end up being moved. But I don't think they're selling low on him. I don't think they're looking to move him for a second round draft pick, for a salary dump, for anything like that. If they trade Jamal Crawford, it will be to get someone who will contribute on the court this season.
Do you think Taj Gibson or Wilson Chandler kind of fit that mold too?
You know, those are guys that financially it makes sense, and you can do the rationale. You can go, okay, this is why Denver would do this. This is why Chicago would do this. Now, is Denver actually going to do it? Probably not. Is Chicago actually going to do it? Probably not. I haven't assembled really a list of names, but I just feel like Taj Gibson. Think about it. If the Chicago Bulls are really shopping Taj Gibson and they're really going to sell low on him and throw him out the door, they're still going to be able to get some team that's going to give them like an expiring contract and a first round pick or something better than just Jamal Crawford and a couple non-guaranteed contracts.
Now, yeah. Lucas, you're the chief over there at Clips Nation. What's the vibe on Clips Nation right now after midnight 01 a.m. East Coast? Like, what are the comments saying? What are you seeing over there at Clips Nation?
A whole lot of celebratory pictures, a lot of little videos of Mark Cuban being mad during Mavs games.
Yes.
Here we go. I feel like crying right now.
Jag and I held each other and wept while the opening horn sounded.
See you all in Vegas. Can't wait till the season starts.
I mean, I would imagine in Vegas our odds just got a lot better to win it all.
Yeah, we went from 10 to 1 to 20 to 1 when we supposedly lost DeAndre.
You know, I had one reader say that they took 25 to 1. On the Clippers yesterday.
Genius.
Oh, wow.
That's a good bet.
You have to assume that 25-1 is, now they've got Paul Pierce, DeAndre Jordan, at least a 10-1.
Oh, at least.
We talked about Wesley Johnson earlier, but what do you see Wesley Johnson's role being on this team?
You know, I'm not sure, because I'm not sure whether Doc Rivers intends to start Paul Pierce or not. Because I think fit-wise, Paul Pierce isn't great with the starting lineup. And I talked about this last time I was on it. Even though he turned out to be great value for the mid-level, given how the rest of free agency panned out with, you know, Alfred Camino getting $7.5 million a year. But I just don't think his game fits well with the starting lineup. You only have one basketball. he's not a great defender. He's not a great athlete, and that's really what you need in that position, a guy who's going to play off the ball, spot up threes, and defend and get out in transition. I think Paul Pierce is going to be great for the Clippers this year. I think he's going to play a huge role. I think he's going to help us win games. But if you look at, I think Wesley Johnson fits better in the starting role, even if it's only playing 18 minutes a night. It's better for him to be playing all 18 of his minutes alongside the starting lineup because I foresee him being a low-usage player. He shot 39% on catch-and-shoot threes last season. So if he shoots 39% on catch-and-shoot threes and all the rest that he has to do really is just be 6'7 and long, and he's doing what Matt Barnes did minus the toughness but with better shooting.
And he's younger. You know, again, he's had 2 years to kind of semi-find himself with the Lakers under two coaches. You know, this he could contribute, don't you think?
Yeah, and this is a point that I made too when the Clippers traded Matt Barnes is I'm going to miss him as much as anyone, and he so fabulously filled that role that the Clippers were needing and searching for at small forwards for quite a few years, where they needed that glue guy, and they couldn't quite get it, and he brought the right combination of toughness, defense, making timely shots.
Yes, and angry tweets. He loved to send an angry tweet.
Yeah, but what his production was very replaceable, I thought. So I didn't think it was a huge loss to trade him, because now you get a guy like Wesley Johnson who, you know, he's not the same person as Matt Barnes. He's not the same player as Matt Barnes, but he's similar in a lot of ways, 6'7", somewhat athletic, inconsistent offensively. If they can get him to try hard on defense, he'll be a slightly above average defender. That's basically what Matt Barnes brought, minus the toughness. And in return, you're getting a guy in Lance Stephenson who you can't go get a Lance Stephenson for the veterans minimum on the free agent market. You can't get a guy who has that upside of being a triple-double guy, scoring 20 points, you know, basically
and
carrying you to victory.
And he tweeted at the team today, too.
Stephenson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he forgot to include an emoji, though, unfortunately, but he did do a very nice tweet. Now, Coach Hahn, tell me, so you're saying you would start, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris Paul, J.J. Redick, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin, and you're saying Wesley Johnson at the three would start under Coach Hahn's Clippers.
You know, it just depends on what the conversation was with Paul Pierce when you sign him. Because if the agreement is that we're going to start you, you stay true to Paul Pierce, you start him. Because, to be honest, starting lineups doesn't matter that much. It's a ceremonial thing. If you start Paul Pierce and take him out after 4 minutes, because obviously Paul Pierce is going to be playing 30 minutes a game, then there's not much more harm done than if you start Wesley Johnson and then put Paul Pierce in after 4 minutes. So you're not losing a lot.
Would you ever move Lance over to the three?
Yeah, I've thought about that. I think especially if Jamal Crawford stays, Lance is going to play a lot of minutes at the three. But Doc said originally that he sees Lance as being a utility guy off the bench, and I kind of agree with that. Lance is a guy who's ball dominant. He's not really he's not a spot up shooter by any means, but he's a ball dominant guy. He's great in transition. He's great in the pick and roll, and so I think he's going to be great as a primary threat on the second unit. But in a different way than Jamal Crawford, where, you know, Jamal Crawford, even when he was hot, when he was playing at his best, he was playing for himself on offense, really. And Lance Stephenson has that passing ability where when he gets in his mode, he makes the entire bench lineup around him better. So all of a sudden, Big Baby's scoring more points, Austin's getting the ball in better spots, and the whole bench lineup is being a little more fluid. So I actually really like putting him in as sort of the LeBron of the second unit. If that makes sense.
Let me ask you both a question. I'm going to start with you, Coach Jag, and then I'm going to go over to Coach Hahn. Coach Jag, last season, the Clippers, especially in the postseason, they kind of painted us as the villains. Now, does this DeAndre, will he, won't he, I promise to go to Dallas, psych, I'm going to L.A., flip-flop, does this add to that villainous allure of the Clippers? Are we now even more dastardly villains?
No, not at all. I mean, we stepped up as a franchise, or the Clippers stepped up as a franchise. I mean, this was a huge move, and it just shows you the, you know, confidence Clipper fans should have going forward. You know, this was this is like an action movie. It really was. It was something that you wouldn't have thought of, and they stood strong. And it's amazing how this organization's, you know, come over the last couple of years, and now we're going to see what else they can do.
Absolutely,
this was really interesting.
This was a last minute, like this was their ace up their sleeves. This was their Deus ex machina, if you will. Coach Hahn, do you think the haters are just going to keep on hating? Or does this make us even more a bunch of jerks to the people who hate us?
You know, I think it might serve as a little bit of confirmation bias for the people that love to hate the Clippers. Because when you love to hate someone, really anything they do, you're going to pick apart. You know, if DeAndre hit signed right away, it would be, wow, they're giving a max contract to a guy who can't contribute on offense. He goes to the Mavs, oh, they lost one of their best players. He does this, and it's, you know, whatever people want to say, unsportsmanlike, blah, blah, blah. But to be honest, I don't think it's going to be that big of a deal. If you think about it, when Elton Brand sort of pulled the same thing, except it was actually worse because he broke his promise to the team that he had been playing for years.
That's right.
But when he pulled the same thing, think about it. Clippers fans hated Elton Brand, and to this day still really do. But I don't remember there being a lot of negative feelings about the Philadelphia 76ers. I think it was almost always directed towards Elton Brand. And if you look at what the national perspective was, I don't think, you know, 2 or 3 years down the line, anyone really cared anymore except for Clippers fans who were still angry about it. And when we look at it, everyone's going to have their hot take on something like this because it's a national story and it's huge. But when we look at it in a few months or in a couple of years, no one is going to care anymore except for Mavericks fans. And that's just kind of the way of the world.
Well, they'll have lots of time to think about it when their season ends in April because they're going to stink next year.
Well, I think it was going to end in April either way, to be honest.
That's right. Hey, Lucas, yeah. Thanks so much for coming on, man.
Thank you, Lucas.
Absolutely, yeah, action-packed show. What a crazy day. And thank you for taking some time out of your schedule and coming on Clipcast. We appreciate it, Lucas.
No problem, guys. Talk
have to you. Have a great one.
Man, Lucas Hahn's really running ClipsNation.com, isn't he? I mean, I know Steve Perrin had to kind of take a lesser role this year, and Lucas Hahn really just stepped up to the plate and has just been hitting walk-off dingers all season. We're pretty lucky fan base to have a guy like Lucas Hahn running our ClipsNation.com for us.
He should be running an organization one day. I mean,
yeah, this kid is a wonder kid.
No, I'm serious.
I believe you, man.
He knows what he's talking about. I mean, he's so good with these numbers and knowing this, you know, certain percentages. Analytics is a huge key to this game now.
Yeah,
and
you're absolutely right.
Someone like that especially pays attention to the game, is special. And you said it, Clips Nation should be proud to have him.
He's like the super bad fat guy Jonah Hill from Moneyball, big time.
Exactly. I don't think he wants to be Jonah Hill from Moneyball.
No.
But
he wants to be Brad Pitt from Moneyball.
Exactly.
Yo,
Dan Wyke, OC Register's own Dan Wyke, beat writer for the Los Angeles Clippers. I respect you so much that I didn't include Mike Jaglin for this section of the show, okay?
I appreciate it.
He's a little much, isn't he? We've already been through too much today. We don't need the Jag bag on top of it.
It's been a lot for Jaglin.
Yeah, right?
Took the roller coaster already.
Exactly. You don't need Nervous Nelly in the front screaming his face off. Okay, so, Wyke, have you ever seen anything like this in the NBA?
Okay, so here, I was thinking about this today. In my time covering the Clippers, I've gotten to see some pretty incredible and some pretty weird stuff. You know, I was there when Blake dunked on Kendrick Perkins and like Staples Center was just like all ready to go have a collective cigarette outside. I was there, the Brandon Knight dunk, that stands out. I covered, the Sterling trial.
Right.
I was there.
You were in the courtroom.
I was in the courtroom for the Sterling trial. I saw the Austin Rivers quarter this year. I saw the Clippers blow the playoffs this year.
Yeah,
and
every
I can
year.
Honestly say that this was maybe the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Today. Well, I don't know. Maybe not the weirdest. Some of those are pretty weird. I'll say this. Covering this team has been an adventure. That's for sure.
It's not been boring.
Yeah, it's been less than dull.
Well, I remember, I can't even remember, it was like, it was after some playoff game. Oh, it was after game six, I believe, in round two, when we just completely and totally blew it. And I believe you came up to me and looked me in the eyes and said, how do you root for these guys?
Yeah, it's got to be tough.
It's tough.
Yeah, no, that was, it was just, you know, the angst and all that stuff. There was such a feeling that something bad was going to happen.
Right.
And, you know, I think.
Now, didn't you think, like, DeAndre was going to leave because that kind of happens to Clipper Nation in the past? Like, oh, the Clipper curse. Oh, everything that could bad happens.
I didn't. I really thought that he would end up with the Clippers until, I mean, look, to be 100% honest, didn't really have a clue which way he was leaning, but I always felt like the Clippers were the better situation.
For sure, you know, for
they,
sure.
That they could offer the most.
For him.
Yeah, and it was always the logical answer. Now, when he picked Dallas, I wasn't stunned.
Right.
I wasn't like, oh my God, this is unbelievable. You know, at the time I wrote that, you know, that really Clipper people had gotten to the point where they thought these days were gone. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Chris Paul could have left, and he didn't.
He didn't.
Blake Griffin could not sign an extension, and he did. Doc Rivers didn't have to come, and he wanted to.
Right.
You know, the list of kind of the stigma of, oh, the Clippers can't keep their stars had kind of gone away, and
for
it was
sure.
Like, uh-oh, are we moving back to this? I mean, this was a pretty crazy way to make sure that didn't happen, but ultimately they got their guy, and that's really all that matters.
So you're a fly on the wall in the DeAndre Jordan Texan compound. Like, what's okay. What's happening? Are Blake and Chris Paul and Paul Pierce and Steve Ballmer, like, locking arms and making a human wall
I
so
wish.
That Mark
yeah, I
Cuban
say,
can't
I,
get through the door?
I wish I was
a fly on the wall.
Yeah, in there. It was, you know, I mean, basically, you know, I kind of know what everybody knows is what you're hearing. It comes out that, you know, the Clippers were pretty confident when they went down there that, you know, and that's what common sense said, is that, you know, they weren't going to go down there to get said no to
right.
the second time.
Right.
But, you know, that it was pretty quick. And then the fun part was just watching it play out on Twitter, you know, and made the stuff where it made it sound like they had kidnapped him.
Yeah.
And were holding him, you know, hostage and
right.
stuff like that. Like, the wording on everything, and that was the like honestly that was the fun part. And then you get tweets like from Blake Griffin that are just like comedic gold, and it was it's one of the most memorable NBA days. I think it was because, you know, there was no Women's World Cup to distract anybody,
right?
It really wasn't anything else. It was just kind of this today.
Yeah.
And there weren't other like really big signings. And everybody kind of just got to experience this together. You know, I mean, I'm sitting here looking at Twitter at 10 o'clock, and DeAndre Jordan's still trending, number one in the U.S.
Yeah, it's crazy. Now, how like, you follow, you know the Clippers better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
How has Doc done as a GM now that he has cemented DeAndre Jordan back, and look at all the other Wesley Johnson, Paul Pierce, Lance Stephenson moves. How has he done as a GM this summer?
I mean, I think it's not all that different from how his first two summers have looked on paper. It looks like he's done a good job, you
yeah.
know, but I think it looked like a good job when he flipped Eric Bledsoe for two starters, you know, and Jared Dudley and J.J. Redick. I thought it looked like he was doing the right thing in a lot of ways when he gave the mid-level exception to Spencer Hawes. Now, those proved out to not be great deals. Obviously, the Dudley trade to get back under the hard cap was just, I mean, that's just a disaster to give up a first-round pick
right.
for that. But I think, you know, this looks like, again, on paper, and they're not done, like a productive offseason for them. You know, I think that there's still names that are out there for them. You know, they need to still, I think, secure some depth in the front court. I really think that they're not going to go into next season with just Glenn Davis, DeAndre Jordan, Blake Griffin. They're going to have to find another big man, I think. They're not done necessarily even on the wings. And I wouldn't be stunned if a guy like Jamal Crawford got traded and they used his contract to kind of fill in some other holes on the bench. You know, they're gonna have to make some moves in the secondary part of the roster, but to have your top four guys, your core, come back and then to cement that with Paul Pierce. I mean, so far that's a win.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, and then do you think Austin Rivers comes back?
I do. I mean, I just think that, like, I was talking to somebody the other day, and it's just, you know, playing for your dad, backing up Chris Paul, where is there a better situation than that?
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the spot.
And also, like, everyone in the Rivers family was jawing at DeAndre a few days ago when we all thought he was hightailing it out of here to go back to Texas. So, I mean, what's his family going to say if Austin leaves?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a really good question.
Right? And I guess...
I mean, the weird wrinkle in all this is that Dan Fagan, DeAndre's agent, who obviously that didn't end super... That was an awkward situation on that front. You know, I mean, that's Austin's agent.
Right.
Too. Which should be nice. That should be a nice and awkward kind of conversation and stuff. Luckily, the Clippers are kind of, there's not a lot of room for negotiation there. It's like the Clippers can offer, I think it's like $3.2 million or whatever his qualifying offer was last year. That's what the Clippers can offer. They can offer more. So there's not a lot of negotiation room, but, you know, can he find a better spot for Austin Rivers than the Clippers? I don't think there's one.
Right. And I mean, other teams could possibly offer him a little bit more money, but are they going to be contenders? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't think, but you never, you know, if there's one thing that comes out of a night like this tonight, Chris, is like, just no certainties.
Nothing is certain.
Not until they sign, you know, and that was the important part of it, is they got the signature they needed.
I just, like, so you're not right now, you know, in your car driving to Houston?
No emojis for me.
Blue car emoji.
Yeah, no, just trying to get everything in order. Just finished up with my story, and I have to probably go through and make some revisions later in the night. See what else happens. Maybe, you know, if there are any other signings and stuff like that. Just gotta. That's the weird part about a free agency day like this. This really reminds me a lot of like when the Doc Rivers negotiations were happening, where it's. As a beat reporter, you're almost, well, I mean, not almost. I was scared to and I'll admit this, scared to take a shower today. I didn't know what I was going to miss.
Right, exactly.
You know, as you wake up in the morning, you're eating breakfast, you look at your computer, and you're like, oh, got to work.
Yeah.
And you never put it down all day, and that's sort of that's sort of where I'm at today. So, you know, probably a shower tonight, too, could maybe be in the
Please mix. Do. Should Please do. Like to hear that. Although, there's a draft. There's a drought on, Wikey. You're a hero by not taking a shower when there's a drought on. Dan, I was told that from a pretty high up in the Clipper organization that they've actually known that DeAndre was going to sign with them for a few days now, or at least a couple of days, and that when the story leaked, they kind of went into panic mode because now Mark Cuban has a chance to counter. So I was told that the Clippers actually knew that DeAndre was leaning towards them. It was likely they were actually very confident that he was going to sign at 12:01 a.m. and that they were bummed that the story leaked. And then that, you know, Chandler Parsons and Mark Cuban could try to make another last ditch effort to convince DeAndre. You know, what any thoughts on that?
I mean, that sounds certainly plausible. I mean, I know that Monday was kind of the tipping point day when hope had started to kind of sift into people's minds that maybe the Clippers went out of this. And I don't know exactly when that hope turned into certainty. But, you know, getting there now, that certainly makes sense. You know, it's something that's plausible that, you know, that. Obviously, they wanted to keep Dallas out of the negotiation room. You know, they're going to catch a lot of crap for the way they handle things here, as they should. This isn't necessarily in the nature of the rules, I would say. You know, I mean, it's not against any rules.
No.
Like,
well, everyone keeps saying it's an unwritten rule, so that if the rule isn't written, then it's not a rule. An unwritten rule is not a rule.
I mean, like, here, situation reversed. Like, if DeAndre had agreed to re-sign with the Clippers and the Mavs swooped in and stole him at the last minute, people would loathe the Mavs.
Sure.
So it's like one of those situations. When it's your guy, you know, you're doing what you got to do. But when it's the shoes on the other foot, it's like you just got hijacked. You know, I think that's kind of where this is. And look, there'll probably be some rule changes in the future and stuff like that to maybe try to limit something like this. But But man, was today fun.
Oh, so fun. It was
that,
awesome.
I mean, I think that's just a great day for Twitter.
Yeah. Absolutely. A great day for Twitter, a great day for the NBA, and clearly a great day for Clipper Nation, and a great day for Clipcast, because Dan Wyke was on, and we thank you, my friend. We thank you.
All right, go watch some Simpsons on FXX.
No! Jag, it's been a crazy, crazy day. You and I, our thumbs are bleeding from hitting refresh on Twitter. But, you know, I love the fact that the Clippers pulled this off. And at the very last possible minute, because let's paint the hypothetical. What if DeAndre does go to Dallas? How screwed were the Clippers?
I mean, they weren't screwed. It was just not a great position because they were basically falling from, you know, anywhere from probably 1-3, 1-4 to probably 6-8, you know?
I mean, last season...
But you know, it would have just forced them to, let's also say this, would have forced them to play Blake at the five more,
right,
and play a lot more small ball. You know, like you said earlier, there aren't many big men out there. We're talking about JaVale McGee and other guys like that.
Is our defense. Like, he is the defense. He's the vocal leader of the defense. Chris Paul is not the leader on defense. Chris Paul is the leader on offense. DeAndre Jordan is the leader on defense. We needed this guy, and we went out and got him. And we really, what I love is that it wasn't Ballmer and his money that got DeAndre. I mean, yes, that had something to do with it, but mostly it was the guys coming together as a team and getting DeAndre.
Yep.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
It was friendship and teamwork and camaraderie
and
a little bit of
organization.
Yes, organization for sure.
I mean, this was a standalone moment in Clipper franchise history. Let's be honest. So many times we've turned the other way and, you know, something bad happens. But
I
went out and we got him.
I'm telling you, dude, I was there as a season ticket holder when Elton Brand looked at the fans in their faces. And he was injured that entire last season that he was with the Clippers. And he said, "This season, I'm sorry I was injured, but I promise you I will be back. And I want you to come back too. We'll be back and we'll be better." And they go out and they get Baron Davis so that there's actually a competent point guard to feed Elton Brand and Chris Kaman on the inside. And what does Elton Brand do? 5 days later, he takes off and he leaves us. And he lied to us. He lied to the fans. So... to have DeAndre Jordan now turn around however many years later and lie to Mark Cuban, man, it feels hip to clip.
No, it's a huge win. And, you know, just what a crazy day. Again, I haven't experienced anything like this in
ever.
I was going to do this quite some time, but yeah, there aren't many moments like this that are wacky.
You know,
and
who really
again,
loves
social media too. Social media was a huge part of this day.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and I feel like the NBA is the most social media savvy of all the sports. You know, who's really grateful for DeAndre Jordan is that idiot Tampa Bay Buccaneer who blew his fingers off on 4th of July with his homemade fireworks. That guy loves DeAndre Jordan.
You're talking about Jason Pierre-Paul from the Giants.
That guy loves DeAndre Jordan.
And how about you know who
I thought it was a Tampa Bay Buccaneer cornerback who blew his fingers off with a firecracker on 4th of July.
Oh, well, Jason Pierre-Paul had a run-in with fireworks as well.
This past 4th of July?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, these moronic NFL football players who are blowing body parts off in the 4th of July, they love DeAndre Jordan for taking the heat off of them.
Well, Tony Romo went after DeAndre Jordan today and tried to recruit him back.
Yeah,
that did not work out. Like
Tony Romo has just
Tony Romo games. Like the end of most Tony Romo games.
Yeah, he blew it in the fourth quarter. At the end of the season, Tony Romo has just as many rings as we do. He needs to shut up.
Yes. Yes, but again, what a great day. It's going to be interesting to see how things play out now. You know, now we know what we have, and it's going to be interesting. We're probably going to have another one of these soon, right?
Absolutely. I would imagine they're going to have a big old press conference, and that will be there. Jag,
yes.
Let's not forget, last season we tied for second with Houston for having the best record in the Western Conference, okay?
We would have been second, and under the new league rules next year, we would have been second.
We had the second best record in the West. We had the third best record in the NBA. That is not a guarantee to happen if DeAndre leaves. He's the cornerstone of our defense. He is the anchor. He's a glue guy in the locker room. He leads the league in rebounds two seasons in a row. He leads the league in field goal percentage. Yes, he stinks from free throw line.
Third team all NBA.
First team all defense, my friend. First team all defense. I mean, if this doesn't get him going to the All-Star game, I don't think anything will. It's just you know, people just don't want to vote in centers, I guess. I mean, this guy deserves it over Marc Gasol.
Oh, all that matters is that the nucleus is intact and this team can go forward after the goal. You know, it's about that.
I mean, if you look
it's
back,
it's about the goal.
You know, we tied for second with Houston. We meet Houston in the second round. We blow it in game six. Why did we blow it in game six? Because everybody went cold. So what did we do? We brought in Mr. Clutch, Paul Pierce. Like, we fixed what was wrong. So it's like we fixed what went wrong last season so we can do better this season. And DeAndre leaves, and all of a sudden, we are scrambling. So many quote-unquote experts said we wouldn't even make the playoffs. Now, they're wrong. We would have made the playoffs, but we would have been one of the bottom-tier teams with no home court advantage. And like I've said many, many times, the regular season matters. Every year, the best team wins, so we need to be the best team. And now we've got a shot at going toe-to-toe with LaMarcus Aldridge's San Antonio Spurs and the champs, the hated Dubs. So, like, now we're actually right there in that top three echelon.
And now we can go forward with our offseason. Again, you know, we signed Wesley Johnson over this entire time, but no domino has really fell. So now we're really going to see what is out there and what else does Doc have up his sleeve. I mean, this will be interesting. This team is not finished. And, you know, showing a display like this, and having someone like Paul Pierce, you know, might be enticing to some of these free agents now.
Absolutely. And anybody who thought Doc Rivers was a bad GM, you got to take a step back and say, maybe I was wrong. Because look at the moves he's made in the past couple weeks. They've been excellent moves. And the one misstep wasn't
totally
a misstep.
Agree with you.
It wasn't a misstep,
yep.
Jack. We got him. We
no,
saw
we got outplayed by an agent. We got outplayed by Dan Fagan. That guy orchestrated this entire thing.
Yeah.
He did.
And to his credit, Jag, his client, DeAndre Jordan, was the most talked about person in the entire world today. So he's doing something right.
Yeah, but he didn't get the DeAndre. I wonder if he's going to get the DeAndre Jordan contract.
Right?
You know?
Yeah, he was locked out of the house from the human wall. I wonder if Austin Rivers goes to Dallas. He's like, Fagan's like, I got somebody to Dallas, you bunch of jerks.
No. Let's stay away from Austin. Let's keep Austin.
I want to keep Austin. I also, Jack, yeah. I kind of want to keep Jamal. I want to keep this group together and add the pieces that we needed. We were always weak on the three, and we always needed to bolster the bench. So we've strengthened the three. We've strengthened the bench. We're doing all the right moves. I want Jamal Crawford to win a ring as an L.A. Clipper. He's a fan favorite. I'm a fan. He's one of my favorites.
No, I mean, I think we both do. But it's, you know, he did not make the flight with them today.
No, he didn't.
You know, and he's one of DeAndre's closest friends. But, you know, we'll see what happens with Jamal. I mean, you know, he's been on the trade block since he came
to town, for God's sake.
So we'll see. I mean, again, he's their really only trade asset. So, you know, you got to see what's out there. And if something appealing comes, then, that, you know, that could be it. But, you know, again, we love Jamal. He's
right,
been
so
great for this franchise.
If you're Jag J. Redick, and Jag J. Redick said the free agency grade was an F- 2 days ago. Let me ask you, Jag J. Redick, what's the free agency grade right now?
I think we're looking at about, let's give it a B. I'll give it a B.
A B?
A B. Yeah, we're not done yet.
What the hell do you want? What more do you want, Jag J?
A B. It's a B.
Jag J! What are you talking about, Jag J?
It's a B. It's not an A yet.
How can I give him an A?
You're a nut. You're a loon. We picked up Paul Pierce. We picked up DeAndre Jordan. What more do you want, Jack?
Yes. We're not done. They're not done. They're not done.
Yeah, but this show is done. Sound the damn horn already.